I am so glad that I'm sheltered in the arms of God tonight. And if you're saved in His child, you are too. Amen. All right, I want you to take your Bible out tonight and please turn to the book of Job. I want you to turn to the book of Job chapter 12. And I want to call your attention to one verse tonight, Job chapter 12 and verse number 7. If you would please stand tonight as we'll honor the reading of God's word. Job chapter 12 and verse number 7. I want to keep it light tonight. As I've already stated a couple of times, we've had a wonderful revival. God's been very gracious to move in this church in the past few days. I know that we're all pretty tired, and we're not going to be long tonight. But I want you to notice this verse, Job chapter 12 and verse number 7. But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Well, with a text like that, everybody knows what I'm preaching on, don't you? Brother Tim, would you pray for me tonight and pray for the message, and everybody can be seated. Yes, Lord, please. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. Now, according to this verse, and you just read it, animals are put here on the earth to teach us something. And then in this same verse, Job goes on to say that the fowls of the air can tell you something if you're willing to listen to them. You find this in a couple of other places. For an example, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 6, in verse number 6, that we are to go to the ant and look at the ant and consider her ways. We can learn something from an ant. Proverbs chapter 30 mentions several animals that we are to learn from, such as the ant, again, the locust, the coney, the spider, the lion, the greyhound, and the he-goat. We can learn from these animals some spiritual lessons if we watch them and learn some things about what they do and how they act and how they get along in their habitat. So tonight I want us to take note and learn from an animal that is rarely, very rarely, maybe never, I don't know. If I didn't know what the Bible said when it says nothing is new under the sun, I would believe that I'm the first preacher to ever preach on this animal. But since the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, I guarantee you somebody has preached on this animal. But I'm going to preach on a creature that can give us some great spiritual instruction. That's right, you guessed it. Tonight I want us to look at the beaver. Amen. Brother Roger Bell and I were out on Real Foot Lake Friday afternoon, and we drifted by a beaver hut. And when we drifted by that beaver hut, we looked in there in the side, and it had two beavers peeking out of the side of that hut. One of those beavers may have been the largest beaver I have ever seen. It was a monster beaver. Brother Roger then began to express to me his deep hatred of beavers. I told him that he reminded me of my grandfather. My grandfather absolutely, unbelievably had a hatred for beavers like nobody I've ever known. He trapped beavers. My grandfather hunted beavers. He would tie sticks of dynamite on bamboo cane fishing poles and stick them in the hut or into the dam and blow mud, rock, and tree limbs several hundred yards up in there hoping to kill that beaver. I've been there and watched him do it as a little boy. Now, beavers listen for running water, and when a beaver hears running water, they find it, they will dam it up if they hear that running water. They can flood, a beaver can flood land and dirt roads and stop up covered pipes with mud and branches and trees. How many of you know that to be true? Oh, they can. Do you realize that in my studying about beavers, I was just looking up a few things, that the largest beaver dam ever is it was, it may still be down there, up there, I think it was in Canada, 150 meters wide, about 9 football fields. That's a monstrous beaver dam. A beaver is a semi-aquatic rodent. Beavers can hold their breath underwater for 15 minutes. They eat tree bark and aquatic plants. They have 2 very large front teeth. And for some of you that's never seen many beavers, and because I've seen a bunch of dead beavers, thanks to my granddaddy, they have orange teeth. Ugly, big, orange teeth. They're a beautiful creature. Beavers have a lifespan of somewhere between 10 to 20 years. A beaver's vision isn't that great, but a beaver can really smell. He can smell something very good. When they are frightened, when a beaver is frightened, for some of you that don't know this, I grew up around a lot of beavers. They will slap their tail against the water to warn others. Any of you ever heard that? And let me just go ahead and tell you this. If you by happenstance are walking out of a tree stand one night and you happen to walk by a beaver pond containing a scared beaver and he slaps the water in the stillness of a cold South Alabama December night, take it from me, it will scare you tremendously. You will quake, buddy, and you will try to run to the truck. Beavers are called nature's engineers. That's not what my granddaddy would call them. I can't repeat in this church what my granddaddy called them. It's got some bad words in it. So I think I want us to look at about 4 things that we as God's people can learn from the beaver tonight. I didn't know how to title this, so I just entitled the message, Baptist Beavers. Now, if you're here and you're not a Baptist, you're still a beaver. If you're, I always talk about good beavers, all right? Now, Brother Roger hates beavers. And my granddaddy hated beavers worse than him. And many of you hate beavers. And I just be honest with you, I don't care much about a beaver. But you know what? You got to give a beaver credit where credit is due. All right? There's 4 things, if you look at a beaver, there's 4 things about that beaver that every Christian in here tonight needs to take notice to, and we need to emulate that in our life. See, I told you, how many of you suspected that I might be going to preach on beavers tonight? I didn't think so. All right, let me give you 4 things about beavers. That'll be the message, and you can go home. Number 1, beavers stay busy. Thus, we have that saying in the world, what? Busy as a beaver. That's right. Do you know what a beaver is? A beaver is a workaholic. They work all the time. If a beaver isn't sleeping, he's working. Now, they are playful also, and they know how to play pretty good too. They'll play out in the water and slap their tails and all that kind of stuff. But a beaver is focused on working. Listen, a beaver's whole purpose is to dam up water and create a safe place for his family. That's all he lives for, is just to mess up something you've got so he can have it better for him. Amen. That's pretty much how I feel about beavers. Now, the Bible, as you know, says much about the sluggard and the neglectful, doesn't it? The Bible talks about us, we're not to be sluggards. We're not to be neglectful. We are not to be lazy people. And that's one reason, the thing I want you to look at the beaver here tonight, he's busy. He's doing something. He's getting something done. Now, listen, this is what I'm not preaching tonight. I want to tell you what I'm not preaching so you can get this point down. I don't want you to get the idea that you're to be busy doing things that God doesn't want you to do. You're to be busy just for the sake of being busy. And that making you being busy, coming to church all the time, doing all these churchy things, makes you spiritual. Over the years, some of the most hateful, mean-spirited people I ever met were people that were faithful to work in the church. Amen. I'm not wanting you to get busy. I'm not wanting you to wear you out. I'm not trying to tell you, if you're really spiritual, you'll do 150,000 things on top of your regular responsibilities in life. I'm not that kind of pastor, and I don't believe God does that to his people. I believe preachers put that stuff on their people and try to put them under bondage. That's why Christians burn out so often. Preachers got them doing things that God didn't call them to do. And if God didn't call you to do it, you ain't got no business doing it. And if he called you to do it, you better do it. That's how I feel about it. But you and I need to be busy in the service of the Lord, doing what the Lord has called us to do. If you know he's called you to do something, if you know there's something he wants you to do, you need to stay busy at it. Not that I'm trying to put something on you or somebody else put some kind of false condemnation on you or false pressure on you, but you know what God wants you to do. You know what he wants you to be involved in. And listen, this is the main sub-point that I have under this point here tonight I want to get across to you. I want you to understand that the worst kind of laziness and in the world, the worst kind of neglect in the world is spiritual neglect and spiritual laziness. Now, I'm preaching to men and women here tonight, but I guess this point may be more applicable to men because this is the way, maybe some women think this way, but I know men think this way, okay? Men think this. They think, okay, they brag. A lot of times men brag about how hard they work. I worked 50 hours this week. I worked 60 hours this week. Man, I didn't have nothing. I worked hard and I got something. Well, praise God, but just calm down a little bit. God gave you the strength and the ability and the intellect to get all that stuff. Listen, he could have broke your back 25 years ago and put you in a hospital and you never worked another lick again. If you're physically and emotionally and mentally able to work, it's because God's gave you the strength to do it. You should give him all the praise and the glory for whatever you've been able to accomplish. But a lot of men, I notice that men, are especially it's true about them, they brag about their work ethic. They brag about how hard they work. That's good. The Bible says if a man won't work, he's not to eat. The problem is that many of those same men that brag about their strong work ethic are lazy in spiritual things. You won't miss work, but you'll never pick up your Bible. You'll get on the phone to make deals all day long, but will you talk to God? Will you spend time in prayer? I'll talk to people all over the computer to do my job, but will you pass out a track? I'll make sure I provide money for my family. Do you ever do anything with your money for God? Listen to me. The worst kind of laziness that will cost you the most here and in eternity is spiritual laziness. Don't brag, men, about how hard you work and how much you contribute to the family and how unlazy you are and how much you get it when you're lazy in the things of God. That's the worst kind of laziness there is. Got real quiet in here, didn't it? I thought he was going to talk about beavers. I am. Beavers are not lazy. Beavers are always busy. They're always working. Men, I'm glad that you're not lazy. You ought to work for your mama. You ought to work for your wife. Work for your mama too if she's still alive. Amen. You ought to work for your wife. You ought to work for your children. You ought to work. I'm for that. I believe in it. You ought to raise your young men to do that. But your young men have grown up and married a wife and failed them, and I don't care if they work for that woman 60 or 70 hours a week if they're not the spiritual leaders of that family, because God told them in that book they're supposed to be the spiritual leaders of that family, and they failed in their duties as a father and a husband when they don't do it. And working overtime doesn't make it all right. Sometimes your children don't need more toys. They need you. Daddy, sometimes your wife doesn't need more money to buy more stuff so you can build her a bigger she shed. Your wife needs you. And a good wife would rather have you than a bigger she shed. Amen, ladies? Some of you are like, I don't know. Bigger she shed, husband. Number two, beavers do their work at night and out of sight. Beavers do their work at night and out of sight. Beavers are nocturnal. If you've seen them, most likely you've seen a beaver at dusk when it's just getting dark. That's when you see them out on the beaver ponds, out in the water. What they do is they work all night in the dark. What you'll do is you'll go to bed and you'll get up one morning and come back by that place right there. And you get up the next morning after you slept all night and the beaver's dammed up the whole world. They just do it like that. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's why Brother Roger, my granddaddy, hated him. And listen, let me tell you something about a beaver. A beaver, listen to me now. This is some good application. A beaver doesn't need any audience because he doesn't have any. except for God. God seeing what that beaver does. How about that? A beaver doesn't need any audience. A beaver doesn't need any applause. A beaver doesn't need any instruction. A beaver doesn't need constant pressure on them to force them to do what they need to do. They do it at night under the cover of darkness. And they're not doing it for anybody else. And they're not doing it. Somebody's not having to stay on them all the time to do it. And they're not concerned about, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be a beaver at night. I want to be a beaver during the day. Well, you can't. You're nocturnal. I don't want to be nocturnal. I want to do it during the day. Why do you want to do it during the day? So people can ride by and see me. Well, don't you know, Mr. Beaver? If you're doing it at night, God sees you. God created you, little beaver. And then he created us to know how to put caps in dynamite sticks. You relax. You relax. Some of you PETA folks now, I ain't killed a beaver in years, so just relax. There's a serious application to this, folks. Why are you doing what you're doing? You know what's concerning to me? It concerns me just as much, and I believe it does to God too. Every Christian in here, look at me. God is not just concerned about what you're doing or how much you're doing. God is concerned about why are you doing it. Are you doing it for him or are you doing it for man? Do you want man to give you the little golf clap? Or do you want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant? Most of the time, they're both not going to congratulate you at the same time. Most of the time, you're going to be doing it one for the other. Now, if you do it for God, you don't get it right now. If you do it for man, that book says that you've got your reward already here. You don't get it when you get to heaven. Now, I want you to think about that tonight. That beaver is working out of sight, and he's working at night. He's working at a dark time. You know what we are as Christians here tonight? We're living in a dark time, aren't we? And in this dark time, we ought to be busy. And we ought to be busy doing the work of God and living for God and being busy about what God wants us to be busy about, not what other people put pressure on us to do. And we're doing it with this in mind. It may be dark and nobody may can see me. It may be so dark in such a wicked world that nobody even cares. But my Lord, my God, my Savior up in heaven, he sees it and he cares. It certainly matters to him. And that's all that should matter to me. Brother Sonny and Sister Elaine and Brother Mark sang that in revival the other night. Jesus is really all that matters when this thing is over. And it's going to be over soon. And one day when it's over soon, all that's going to matter, just a few seconds after you die, you're going to say, oh my, oh my, oh my, why didn't I take my Christian life more seriously? Why didn't I sacrifice here and put more in over here? And why didn't I act more? Why didn't I stay busy over here? Why didn't I follow God more closely over here? All that's going to matter, not what you put down here on the earth, but what you laid up in heaven, where rust and moth, the Bible says, does not corrupt. A couple of more points here tonight. Point number three, beavers are persistent. Now, you might want to get a hold of this point. Let me tell you something I know about a beaver. You got to give credit where credit is due. Beavers are not easily discouraged. How many of you know that? Beavers are not easily discouraged. I cannot tell you the number of times growing up with my daddy and my uncles, and again, because we're in church, I can't tell you the conversations they had because they were excited and angry and cursing and over the beaver. I mean, they get upset about them beavers, but I can see in my mind the multiple times my daddy and all of them saying what they were saying, having these metal rakes. Trying to break down beaver dams and unclog pipes and get all that stuff out of the way and everybody get in their truck and leave and come back the next day and the thing's right back where it was. I think that beaver was just in there opening his eye every once in a while going, soon as that bunch of crazy idiots out there cussing and hollering, we're going to make them mad again. And you pull off and as soon as the lights go down, I say, okay, boys, we ain't got about 10 hours, let's do it. I've seen them go down through there and them cypress swamps where I'm from down there, and then them beaver ponds down there on my, going along the river there on my daddy's land and my uncle's land or whatever. I've come through there where they cut stuff that big around with their teeth. I reckon they cut it. They're hauling stuff that's pretty big for a beaver. I reckon they're hauling that in there. They're persistent. They don't get discouraged. Do you know what? A beaver won't stop unless you kill them or trap them. A beaver will not stop unless you kill them or trap them. Listen, you and I as Christians are going to have people breaking our dam up all the time. You know that? They're going to come in there and say, you're flooding the road, man. You're backing up water. They're going to fill it up. But listen, we got to be like that beaver. We just don't quit. We can't, listen, you cannot let failure stop you. Many times folks will say, I admire the beaver. I'd be like that beaver. If I worked hard all night and the sun was coming up and I got in my hut where I could stick my little nasty face out of there and I said, listen, what's that? I hear that old loud truck. You hear that loud? Yeah, the one that ain't got the muffler on it. That's them noses coming back. Oh, no, we worked hard all night. What is that? That loud talking. Yep, that's noses. That's them. They're back. What? They brought the metal rake again. They got that chain. They're going to get down there with that push rod. They're going to unclog that cover. Oh, no. You know what I do? I just say, boys, let's move out and find some more water. Not the beaver. You don't kill that beaver or trap that beaver, you unstop that thing 100 times, what will he do, Brother Thomas? He'll build it back 100 times. Ain't that right? He don't quit. He never gives up. There's your beaver. And that's why my granddaddy hated them so bad. Because they mess up your land so bad. Now, I know some of these big people concerned about the ecosystem and these scientists. Now, brother, you know we need beavers. Okay, we might need them, but let them all go on your land. You worry about the ecosystem on your land. We're worried about flooded roads over here. You can't let failure stop you. You can't let lack of results discourage you. Well, I build something up, it gets tore back down. I build something up, it gets tore back down. Got to be like the beaver. Got to be a Baptist beaver. We can't let what others do sidetrack us. I think the Lord, listen to me tonight, folks, and I got one more point. I think the Lord is very pleased when we just determine not to give up or give in. We just say, God, I'm pretty pitiful at times as a Christian, and I mess up, and I don't do right, and sometimes I'm not as faithful to you as I ought to be. I know that, Lord, I know it. But if you'll just give me the strength, this is one thing I will try to do for you. I'll try not to quit on you. I'll try not to give up. I won't let adversity run me off. I'll try to flood their land until they kill me or until you come get me. Amen? Amen? All right, one more thing here tonight. Beavers work well together. Beavers work well together. That's how they get so much accomplished. Now, one beaver can get a lot done, but several beavers working together can do some kind of damage overnight. Some kind of damage overnight. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that two are better than one. Now, if we were all in this church were to get on the same page and everyone in this church pulls his or her weight and not care about who gets the recognition, there is no telling what could be accomplished in this one little local church. With everybody not worrying about getting a pat on the back, we're doing it for the Savior. We are like the beaver. We don't have to be seen. We don't have to be applauded. We don't have to be prodded and pushed. Amen. And we are not easily discouraged. You're not going to make us quit on God. We may not be perfect. We may not get it right every time. But bless the Lord, oh my soul, we're not going to quit. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. We're going to stay at it, what he's called us to do. And we are going to overlook one another's differences and cultural differences and gender differences and geographical differences and whatever. And we're going to come together as one body in unity and work together. And there's no telling what God can do in this church. No telling what he could do. I think it's a terrible shame when a family of beavers, or as we were looking in the book of Proverbs, a colony of ants, little old bitty ants, can get more accomplished together than a Baptist church can at times full of Christians. Well, in conclusion tonight, church, I don't think that you could have ever convinced my granddaddy that there was anything good about a beaver. I just don't think you could. And to be honest, I've never cared for them too much myself. I'll say that. But you got to give credit to whom credit is due. Beavers are not lazy. They're always doing something to improve their living conditions. Beavers do their greatest work at night. And that work is not seen by man, but it's always observed by God. Beavers, listen, beavers just refuse to give up. And beavers know how to work well with other beavers. Now, I wouldn't mind having some Baptist beavers. Amen? Amen. Well, Lord God, thank you for this night. May you take this message, burn it in our hearts. Help us to learn something from this one pesky animal. God, how much we can learn from that old beaver. Help us to leave here with these spiritual thoughts in our mind and heart tonight. Again, thank you for being so gracious to us last week. Thank you for giving us the strength to make it through until now. God, would you please give my people good rest. Give them good rest to go into this week. We love you. We praise your holy name. Dismiss us in your grace tonight. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 Good night, church.